ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th, Chapter 10, Maharaj Rahugan meets Jad Bharat, text number 8. Okay. So till yesterday we had come till 6th, 7th purport is not there, that's why we have written 8th. But I'll read the 7th text translation and then we'll go to 8th. Text 7.
Ataha punah swashibikayam vishamagatayam prakupita uvacha rahugunah. Kimadare tvam jivan nuto mam kadarthikritya bhartrushasana machirita maticharasi pramattasya chame karomi chikitsam dandapani riva janataya yatha prakrutim swam bhajishyasi iti.
Translation. Thereafter, when the king saw that his palanquin was still being shaken by the carriers, he became very angry and said, "You rascal, what you are doing? Are you dead despite the life within your body? Do you not know that I am your master? You are disregarding me and are not carrying out my order. For this disobedience, I shall now punish you just as Yamraj, the superintendent of death, punishes sinful people. I shall give you proper treatment so that you will come to your senses and do the correct thing." Text 8.
Evam bahu baddhamapi abadhamapi bhashamanam naradevabhimanam rajasa tamasanu vidhena madena tiraskruta shesha bhagavat priyaniketanam panditamaninam sa bhagavan brahmano brahma bhutaha sarva bhuta hrudaya surudatma yogeshwara charyaya niti utpannan vitpannamatim smayamana iva vigatasmaya idamaha.
So we'll read the word to word translation. You all can repeat.
Evam, in this way, bahu, much, abaddham, nonsensical, api, although, bhashamanam, talking, naradeva abhimanam, King Rahugan, who thought himself the ruler, rajasa, by the material mode of passion, tamasa, as well as by the mode of ignorance, anuvidhena, being increased, madena, by madness, tiraskrita, who rebuked, ashesha, innumerable, Bhagavat Priyaniketanam, devotees of the Lord, Panditamaninam, considering himself a very learned scholar, Saha, that Bhagavan, spiritually most powerful, Jadabharat, Brahmanaha, a fully qualified Brahmana, Brahma Bhuta, fully self-realized, Sarva Bhuta Surudatma, who was thus the friend of all living entities, Yoga Ishvara, of the most advanced mystic yogis, Charyayam, in the behavior, na ati vitpannamatim. Unto King Rahugan, who was not actually experienced. Samayamanaha, slightly smiling. Iva, like. Vigatasmayaha, who was relieved from all material pride. Idam, this. Aha, spoke. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? The translation is, thinking himself a king, King Rahugan was in bodily conception and was influenced by material nature's mode of passion and ignorance. Due to madness, he chastised Jadabharat with uncalled for and contradictory words. Jadabharat was a topmost devotee and the dear abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although considering himself very learned, the king did not know about the position of an advanced devotee situated in the devotional service. Nor did he know his characteristics. Jadabharat was the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always carried the form of the Lord within his heart. He was the dear friend of all living beings, and he did not entertain any bodily conception. He therefore smiled and spoke the following words. Purport. The distinction between a person in the bodily conception and a person beyond the bodily conception is presented in this verse. In the bodily conception, King Rahugan considered himself a king and chastised Jadabharat in so many unwanted ways. Being self-realized, Jadabharat, who was fully situated on the transcendental platform, did not at all become angry. Instead, he smiled and began to deliver his teaching to King Rahugan. A highly advanced Vaishnava devotee is a friend to all living entities, and consequently he is a friend to his enemies also. In fact, he does not consider anyone to be his enemy. Suruda sarvadehinam. Sometimes a Vaishnava becomes superficially angry at the non-devotee, but this is good for the non-devotee. We have several examples of this in Vedic literature. Once Narada became angry with the two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, and he chastised them by turning them into trees. The result was that later they were liberated by Lord Sri Krishna. The devotee is situated on the absolute platform, and when he is angry or pleased, there is no difference, for in either case he bestows his benediction.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaisham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Shatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, before we start, I'd like to seek the blessings of the senior devotees present here so that we can speak something about subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, as that day also, this Jagadatma Guru was telling about glories of Bhagavatam in the beginning of his class, which was so inspiring, that the Srimad Bhagavatam himself can take care of all needs of a devotee. That's why Sanatana Goswami very nicely prays to Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Madeka bandho mad sangi mad guror mad mahadhanaha mad nistaraka mahabhagya madananda namostute. So he says, the Srimad Bhagavatam is like everything for me. He's guru for me. He's like friend. He's greatest treasure. And he's deliverer from this world. So when we are coming in touch with Srimad Bhagavatam, that is a great fortune to understand and apply what Bhagavatam talks. Specifically this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, this Maharaj Rahugan, by his great fortune, he meets Jadabharat, who is greatly realized Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. Although he is now chastising Jadabharat, but Jadabharat is not taking it very seriously, because he is always Sarvabhuta Surudatma, that he is always favorably disposed to the living entities. And then, like last whole thing, we are seeing that how this Rahugan is chastising in different rebuking ways to Jadabharat. But Jadabharat is very peaceful, smiling rather. So, lot of churning is happening. Next, from the next verse onwards, the actual nectar will start coming, after the whole Jai Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Gonitai Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki. So specifically in this text 8, Prabhupada is talking about the distinction between a person in a bodily conception and a person beyond this bodily conception. So that is one thing Prabhupada is stressing here, that how this bodily concept of life makes one behave wrongly on his part. And second thing, because King Rahugan was becoming angry on Jadabharat for no reason in that way. And so that becoming angry, Prabhupada takes it as, because that anger was arising from his Purusha Bhav, that is, he was considering himself as king. That Raja's Bhav of that Raja, that the conception that he is a king, he is the controller of everything, that was creating anger within the King Rahugan. And then he spoke what he spoke. And Sukadev Goswami also practically gives the whole description of what he spoke. It's like various sarcastic words and rebuking words, telling that although he was very stout, he's telling that you are very thin, and then you are maybe for 1,000 years you are in this service, that's why you are little fatigued. Although he was just half an hour, maybe 1 hour just before he has come. And he's telling, you are so old, That's why you are not able to carry it properly. And like that, he goes on rebuking Jadabharat. But Jadabharat is very peaceful, was not at all disturbed by such kind of rebuking words. And then Prabhupada very nicely clarifies that this anger also is not just a sign of abhiman or ankar, but when that is used by pure devotees, that is for the great benefit of the common people. So both ways, you know, Prabhupada is clarifying the position of a conditioned soul becoming angry and a pure devotee becoming angry. Both are caused by different reasons. So the first cause, what Prabhupada talks about for the anger of living entities who are conditioned in this body, that is because of bodily misconception. That I am this body, and then related to this body are mine. So Bhagavatam says, Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. That conception starts growing up in a conditioned soul, because without that conception he cannot find any taste in this material world. Because he is from spiritual world, being a spiritual entity, where is the question of gaining some happiness in this material world? Unless he covers himself with this ahankara. The way the astronauts goes in the sky, which is foreign place for them, they need a special suit to go in the space. So similarly, a spirit soul, when he comes from spiritual world to material world, in material world, a spirit soul has no, you know, in that way, any reason to be there. And nothing to give and take with matter. So if he has to really enjoy in this world, so-called enjoyment, he has to take a suit. You know, he has to cover himself with mind, intelligence, false ego. That's the first, you know, covering. And then second covering, by the nature's arrangement, he gets gross body. And with this, both coverings, he is walking around in this world, trying to enjoy the things of this world. So Prabhupada always, you know, says in his, you know, purports that this is the disease. Although this King Rahugun, he is telling that he says Chikitsam, you know. He says, although King Rahugun is diseased with this bodily concept, and he need to be treated. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in the purport of this verse, he says, the treatment is not required for Jadabharat. Treatment is required for King Rahugan, because he is in the bodily concept. But he is telling Jadabharat that, okay, I'll treat you. And not treat like, you know, doing some bad words or slapping. He says, I'll treat you like Yamaraj treating, you know, his fellow mates. He said, I'll kill you. And he's feeling that he's doing favor on Rahugan, this Jadabharat, by not killing him. He says, I'm just talking little bad words. Know that I'm very merciful. If I come down, I may go to an extent of killing you. Because I'm a king and you are not carrying out my orders. So this bodily concept can bring down a person of caliber of King Rahugan also. Actually, King Rahugan is not a non-devotee in that sense. Because we know why he is going from Savira, you know, the place where he was called as Sindhupati also. That Sindhu Nadi is almost in the north of India. Now he is going to, you know, Calcutta side. You know, it's like all the way traveling just for taking association of devotees. Because there are some satsang is going on. So he wants to attend that satsang. He is going for satsang. So he understands the importance of satsang. But because he's, you know, is not still purified, that's why we find such wrong behavior on his part. And, you know, it was his great fortune that somehow, by Lord Krishna's mercy, he got association of Jad Bharat. So this, you know, pastime very clearly, you know, gives us also some understanding to seek and see in our own lives how we are like King Rahugan, you know, having this conception of, you know, false ego, conception of wrongly identifying ourselves in this material world. So this misconception of considering ourselves something other than what we are, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jiver Swarup Hoy Krishner Nityadas. So our eternal position is, you know, Nityadas of Krishna. Apart from any other identification what we carry with us, that is this bodily conception. No? Depending on our body and surroundings, we start identifying with that thing. So how we know that we are in the bodily concept? We can very clearly see that such a person who is in the bodily conception of life becomes very much disturbed when the misery comes in his life. So that disturbance is caused, like here also in case of Rahugan, what was happening? It was not such a great disturbance that he wanted to kill King this Jada Bharat. What was happening is his, you know, palanquin was shaking little bit, time to time. You know, whenever there is to be ants, his palanquin used to shake. So he became so disturbed, and then he was shouting on this Jada Bharat. So we can see why he was shouting. That shouting was coming, that anger was coming from the misconception. As he says here, that he was considering himself Nara Devabhimanam Rajasa Tamasanu Vidhena. That he was considering himself as king, and that Abhiman was causing that anger towards Jada Bharat. So that means, it's like becoming happy in this world, that depends on your conception only. What we have conception, that makes the whole situation either happy or distress. If one is humble, if one is understand the situation, then he can be happy going by local train also. You know, crushed, practically becoming chutney. But he may think, okay, no problem, I'm going to temple now. Little inconvenience, what is like, not such great disturbance. So in local train one may be happy, but if someone is going by some Rajdhani or something, he may be crying inside Rajdhani, telling that, okay, this train is very slow, you know, what is this? Although AC, although non-stop, but still he'll say, it's not so fast. So we can see people smiling in railway, crowded railway, and crying in Rajdhani. So this is all because of Abhiman what we carry. So because this king was very deeply rooted in his consciousness that he is a king. And because of that, little disturbance was causing him disturbance. Little, you know, here, there, he becomes immediately disturbed. So, in the life of a devotee also, many disturbance will come. It's not maybe, it's for sure. Because we are in this material world. Material world means the place of Dukkhalayam or Shashvatam. So when these disturbances will come, what will make us go through that disturbances when we are not disturbed? That's why this is one of the quality of person who is going beyond bodily conception, that he becomes undisturbed in difficult situations. So when we are seeing ourselves or seeing others making advancement on path of devotional service, we should see not that how much I am happy or how much I am unhappy in Krishna consciousness, but I should see how much steady I am in Krishna consciousness. So that steadiness is beyond happiness and distress. Sometimes there will be unhappiness, sometimes there will be, you know, happiness. But a person who is steadily going, he is actually making advancement in Krishna consciousness. So this bodily concept is so strong that it creates that disturbance. In one of the lecture we are hearing, this Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was telling that when he joined ISKCON very early, that time ISKCON was almost in America and other places and some part of Europe. So when he joined, he was amongst very first devotees of African origin, having a black body. So when he came inside the temple, started living, because devotees were not so trained, surely he was facing some tussle and some inconvenience because of, like, devotees, they all were white and bodied. So he was very disturbed because he heard Prabhupada speaking from Bhagavatam that how everyone is spirit soul. So he went to Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, what is this? You are talking in Bhagavatam that everyone is equal, but I see so much of discrimination in your devotees." So then Prabhupada gave him such answer which transformed him to see that same situation. Prabhupada just told him, he said, they are at fault surely, because they are thinking that they are white bodied and they are maybe disrespecting you. But what about you? How you are different than them? They are considering themselves white and you are considering yourself black. So how you are different than them? So that was like, very great enlightenment. So Maharaj was telling that in our life, to the degree we carry this conception of I am this body, to that degree we will be troubled, in our life. Another thing is, a person who is in strong bodily conception, he identifies unnecessarily with so many things of this world. Who he is, what he does. Like once man had come in our, it's like stall, temple. And then when he was asked, okay, where, who you are and where you stay, he said, "We make tires." He said, it's like, that was his first sentence. Then he said, "We are from Seat, tire company." So he's identifying himself so much that the first word comes is, "Hum tire banate," as if he's, making tire in his kitchen only, in his home. He identifies with that post of being an employee of that company so much that he feels that that is his identity. Other things comes later. So similarly, when we are staying in this world, whatever identification we have, and we have so many identifications, so many responsibilities. We may identify ourselves as son of so and so, father of so and so, husband or wife of so and so, relative of so and so, employee of so and so. So many misconceptions we may carry, and sometimes they are more overpowering than our original conception of I am a devotee. So then it becomes a problem. So such a person who is bodily concept of life will see such very intense misidentification. That's why we have seen also sometimes we are calling a person and then he is on the way and then he says, "Yes, I am coming to temple. I'm a little caught up in traffic jam." So who is caught up in traffic jam? The car is caught in traffic jam, not the person sitting inside. But to the degree he feels that car and he is almost like same only. If someone hits the car, he feels that someone is hitting his heart. So his heart will be shattered before the window of the car shatters. That much he identifies with that. And that's how we can see his language, how it says. He says, "Aa raha tha to puncture ho gaya main." Like, I become punctured. As if Because when he sees that his car become punctured, he says that, mera battery down ho gaya. He says, car ka battery down ho gaya. So, we can see this strong identification, and that's what is exactly called as ahamkar. He says, ahamkar means, I am that car. That is, he identifies with things of this world so much, that he completely forget what is his real identity. And this misidentification extends, doesn't remain within, aham. It goes to mameti, and it goes beyond that also sometimes. As Prabhupada says, that it may takes very nice forms also sometimes of different isms. Humanitarianism, or altruism, this ism, that ism. So that also is an extended, bodily concept. It may look very nice. It's like a nice form of, bodily conception of life. It's like that. The same ego is there, that I am the enjoyer in this world. That ego is transformed in little nice way, in little better covering of mode of goodness, of being different isms. So when we, unless we are coming out of this, becomes very difficult to do Krishna consciousness. And we can see also that such a person's behavior is very always extreme, as in case of King Rahugan. Although he was going for satsang, but he couldn't identify that here is a great devotee. Very difficult for him. So we can see that in our life also, this may happen. That it's not that this bodily conception is only for those who are outside. This bodily concept rules everyone practically. Prabhupada says in his purport, from top Brahma to down ant, everyone is diseased with this consciousness. What consciousness? Two diseases. One is heart disease and one is skin disease. Skin disease is what? Misidentification with this body. That is skin disease. Heart disease, what? We have a great desire to enjoy separately from Krishna in this world. That is heart disease. And we can find everyone is heart patient and everyone is skin patient in this material world. But for us, we can see that to the degree we have this misidentification, misconception, to that degree for a devotee it becomes very difficult to do his sadhana also. Someone is sitting and chanting his japa, becomes very difficult to concentrate if this identification is very strong. He's sitting for japa, but he's thinking, how things will be, managed. Who will do now? It's like engaged here. So although he's chanting Hare Krishna, but he's thinking of all his other, things. Where is required. So, even if a mobile rings, he will feel very disturbed. It's like, maybe I should now stop my chanting and attend it. Or, he's so much bogged up with, whole days of different. It becomes for a devotee sometimes, japa period becomes a good planning session. It's like, the whole planning goes, the whole day, whole month, whole year planning goes on. Hare Krishna is coming out, inside something else is going on. So, that is a very simple indication that, our first identification is I am devotee. If you are a devotee, sit here and chant. But when I feel that, okay, I am owner of such and such company, or employee of such and such company, or in charge of such and such project, or n number of things like that, then when we are chanting Hare Krishna, surely that will be distracting. So at least when we are doing our sadhana, we should know that, who am I? That's why the first definition of bhakti is sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Bhakti cannot start only if we are misidentifying ourselves with something else. So that is very essential for everyone who is doing devotional service. And we see here that because of this bodily concept of life, this King Rahugan not only just chastised, but he was about to be physical with Jadabharat. And then he spoke what he wanted to speak. Actually, Jadabharat, and he was knowing that, you know, Jadabharat is remembering his all past lives, dear life and Bharat Maharaj life. When he was, you know, Bharat Maharaj, that time he had such kings like Rahugan, you know, carrying his palanquin. You know, that was the position of this King Bharat. Such tiny puny kings were bowing down every walk of his life. And now, this king was, you know, rebuking this Jadabharat, telling that, you know, you are not performing things properly. And we can see the nature of Jadabharat also, that although he is rebuked so much, he is very peaceful. He says, smayamana, and it's like, it's very peaceful, just smiling. So that is the nature of a devotee, that although he is rebuked, although he is, you know, pushed, he may not deviate from his, you know, following Krishna consciousness. And that is exactly who he is rebuking. You know, King Rahugan is not chastising some ordinary person, neither he chastising some extraordinary person, he is chastising his own guru. He says he is going to become his guru after some time. Just after 2-3 pages, and he is going to accept him as his guru. So he is chastising his guru. And what guru is doing? Guru is very peaceful. And okay, no problem. Some little, you know, impudence, little, no problem. So we can see the position of a great devotee is, they have to be so tolerant. That Jadabharat was, you know, showing that what extreme tolerance on the basis of spiritual life also and on the basis of material life also, Jadabharat is far, far superior than King Rahugan. But he now has taken that life of living like Avadhut. He is least bothered about all these things. We are hearing that this Jadabharat, he is a son of Brahmana. Even when he was caught by these dacoits to kill him, Jadabharat was hearing when the dacoits were catching him that, okay, we are taking him to, you know, to the Kali and, you know, he will be cut. He did not say anything. You know, neither he tried to run away. Even if he would have just said that I am a son of a Brahmana, this one statement would have made him free. Because dacoits also are not so irreligious that time at least, that they will kill a Brahmana. Even if they just knew that he is a Brahmana, they would have left on the spot. But that also he did not do. He said, okay, no problem. Anyway, I am not this body. So that was the caliber of Jadabharat. It cannot be done artificially. Surely not. You know. So when he was going through this whole ordeal, it comes very important lessons for all of us. That how one, when he is in the bodily concept of life, he goes completely astray from his main duty of serving Krishna. And then he becomes a very good servant of Maya, trying to figure it out how nicely he can enjoy in this material world. So, and another very good instruction comes in this regard is, although King Rahugan was not an ordinary person, when he was a king, surely in his king court, so many devotees must be coming, telling about Bhagavatam, telling about good instructions. And he was trained like that. You know. And he was going for another, it's like association of devotees. So that was a very good purpose. He is like very, good person in that sense. Devotee-like person. But he also, when the disturbance came, his knowledge of that he is not this body, he's supposed to be, deal with others with respect, that was wiped out. So that means, even one may be a devotee, even one may know that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. I am supposed to see everyone as, equal and respect them. That knowledge, born from the association of devotees and reading of scriptures, will be wiped out in such, circumstances, when there is a disturbance, if one is not realized. So same thing happened with King Rahugan. Although he knew things, he was not a non-devotee, atheist. No, he was a devotee only. Not fully purified, of course, but he was a devotee. But still, we see his non-devotional attitude towards Jada Bharat. So that is a very important for every sadhaka to learn so many wonderful things from these pastimes of King Rahugan and Jada Bharat. And from tomorrow on, we'll hear the nectar of the words of Rahugan, how he, with his realized knowledge, he is like cut off all the attachments and of this king, Rahugan. It's very beautiful things is waiting for all of us. And today, we are having this very wonderful day of celebrating Raghunandan Thakur's appearance. Disappearance of Raghunandan Thakur. So here also, Raghunandan Thakur, we know that story of when he was small, son of Mukunda. When Mukunda, every day he used to offer bhoga to the Lord. And then that was his daily routine. But one day, when Mukunda had some urgent work in the court, he goes at the time of offering bhoga. And then he appoints his own son, who is Raghunandan, as, it's like, okay, you do this service today. And that time Raghunandan is very small, just a child. So Raghunandan says, okay, no problem. Mother makes a nice plate with laddus and other items. And then very sincerely he takes that plate, goes inside the altar, closes the altar as he had seen his father doing. Goes inside, keeps the plate, and then he prays whatever he can pray. And he tells, my dear Lord, now please start, eat. And then he waits there for a minute, waits there for 5 minutes, and he says, nothing is happening. Laddus are there, Lord is just watching. And then he becomes very disturbed. He says, my dear Lord, what is happening? Every day my father comes, he offers you, and then every day you take. Today what happened? I am small, that's why you are feeling like that? Because I am not so grown up. But whatever is there, at least you eat. I may be small, so what? So he is making, talking to the Lord, trying to pursue the Lord that, now you please eat. He said, if I take like this, what will my father say? I couldn't even give, offer some food also to you. So after lot of persuasion, nothing happened. Then he started crying. But seeing this innocence of child Raghunandan, Lord spoke to him. He said, my dear Raghunandan, I have already eaten. Because I don't eat like the way ordinary people eat. Anganiyasya sakalendriya vrittimanti, pashyanti panti kalayanti, chiram jaganti. That the Lord's different bodily parts can interchange themselves. He can eat through his eyes, he can walk through his ears, he can do anything. So he said, I have already eaten. I just saw and I ate. Raghunandan looked at the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't understand this philosophy. He said, this philosophy is good for big people. for me, laddus are still there. That means you have not eaten. So he said, you eat it. So Lord said, okay. Then took the laddu, ate. He was happy. He said, no, eat everything. So then Lord ate everything. And it became empty. Then he was very happy. He said, very nice. Thank you. And then he went with the plate outside. He came, having a plate empty with, smiling to mother. He said, take this. Where is Mahaprasad? It's Mahaprasad. Which Mahaprasad? Mahaprasad. Lord ate everything. He said, really? You ate or Lord ate? He said, no, Lord ate. He said, okay, let your father come. I'll tell your father. So when this was told to his father, Mukunda knew that his child is not an ordinary child. So he said, okay, you take this laddu again, you go and offer. Let me see who ate it. And then Raghunandan goes inside, keep the laddu, and he prays, my dear Lord, little one more extra laddu. Please eat it. The Lord is standing there. Mukunda is standing outside, peeping through the window. And the Lord is not eating. Now, that was the end of patience of Raghunandan. He started crying. He said, my dear Lord, do you know what is happening? My mother and father are feeling that I ate everything. So they are blaming me. So if you don't eat, that will be confirmation that, I only ate everything. So at least to save me, you please eat now. So Lord said, okay. Then he extended his hand, ate the laddu. So when Mukunda saw from outside, he was dancing in ecstasy. Knowing that, it's like, my boy is a pure devotee in my home. And then he picked up Raghunandan and he was so much showering his love and blessings on his son. And we find that when they had gone, I think, to Puri, Raghunandan and his father, Mukunda, once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, Raghunandan was sitting, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved this Raghunandan very much. Raghunandan, small, he used to come, sit on the lap of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu used to give him special mercy. So when he saw this Mukunda sitting, he asked Mukunda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, he said, my dear Mukunda, who is father and who is son? Amongst you and this Raghunandan. So Mukunda, with joined palms, he said, my dear Lord, Raghunandan is father, I am his son, he said. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. So he said, yes. So that was the... That shows again that Krishna consciousness doesn't depend on bodily conception. The devotee becomes free from his bodily conception of life. Then actually he becomes very steady and very happy in his Krishna consciousness. Like we once in one of the temple when they had the stalls of Janmashtami, they were announcing on the booth that, we are having here Bhagavad Gita, telling about Bhagavad Gita, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, that you are not this body, you are spirit soul, please come and understand about yourself. So one person was going on the road. He was very fat. And when he heard that you are not this body, he became so ecstatic. He came running there. He said, till now I have got so much of criticism, so much of looking down by other people because of this ugly body. Now this is like a liberation for me to hear that I am not this body. I don't have to worry about this body. So he was very happy. He immediately took the Bhagavad Gita. So just little glimpse of this understanding that I am not this body can give immense happiness to a conditioned soul. So that's why, and this can be seen even in the beginning of Krishna consciousness. It's not that we have to become Mahabhagavat to access that happiness. But even a learner in Krishna consciousness can be very well situated in this understanding. In the learning stage, it may not be continuous. As we see in King Rahugan also, although he also had that understanding. It's not that first time he was hearing that you are not his body or spirit soul. Previously also he must have heard so many times from different devotees in his court. But now the situation was made in such a way, seeing his precarious situation, Rahugun became more overwhelmed with compassion and spoke him some good words. And that was the end of his bodily conception of life. So here in this two words verses, we saw that how when someone is in the bodily conception of life, he becomes obsessed with that, he starts identifying himself which he is not. Actually we all are just servants of the Lord Krishna. Other than that, all other identifications, our designations, they all create a difficulty only. Disturbance. Great disturbance in our life. So, then one may ask, okay, when the disturbance happens, or some disease is there, we are disturbed. We are having back pain and this pain and that pain. So that pain is there. Is that some, when pure devotee is there, he don't feel that pain? When it is hot outside, sun, normal people suffer because it's very hot. Is that non-devotee don't suffer? The highest Paramahamsa devotees, they don't suffer? So here we have to understand that as Sridhar Maharaj always used to say, that suffering is, it's like, it's must. But the pain is must. But whether you suffer in that pain is optional. You choose to suffer in that situation because of your consciousness. So a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava, he may be in this world and he may also go through this pains, but these pains are not disturbing his service. That pains he considers as a inconvenience in its service to Krishna. He feels, it's like, so one thing is to get disturbed and it's like either leave the service or do something else. So that is the non-devotee platform or learning devotee platform. But very advanced devotee, they may also get that pain, but that pain they see it as just inconvenience in their service. They try to figure it out, how to solve it. And even if that doesn't get solved, they are not so much bothered about. Their service doesn't stop. And we have hundreds and thousands of examples in the scriptures, in current Vartaman Acharya Vrinda, what we have in ISKCON, that going through so much of difficulties, they are not still like our gurus in ISKCON, they are traveling so wide, and it's impossible for ordinary man to travel so much, going through the jet lags, going through different bodily inconveniences. Some other person will, within 2-3 days only, he will run away, seeing the whole thing. But they are going through that is because they have come above this conception of life. So, pain will be surely there. Pain is for everyone, from top to bottom. But what is the consciousness, that differs how you react to that situation. Either you connect more to Krishna in that situation, or you disconnect yourself from that situation and go away. So we saw this person who is having bodily consciousness as he is disturbed and is very strongly identifying with that position. It may extend to the extended sense gratification in terms of different isms. And then we saw that when we are strongly identifying ourselves with something, becomes a great hurdle in our doing sadhana, chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavatam, becomes very difficult. You are reading Bhagavatam but you are thinking something else. I have to do this, I have to do that. So that is, one devotee was telling, how we can know that who you are. He said, when you get up early in the morning, first thought what comes in your mind, that's how you identify yourself as, like, very strongly. And when you get up early in the morning, if you are thinking, okay, now day has started, I have to go for Mangalarti, I'll chant now, then that is very nice thought. But in the beginning you get up and then you have other thoughts. What about this? What about that? What about this? So, devotee will surely take responsibilities and anxieties on behalf of Krishna. But specifically when it comes to sadhana, when it comes to deal with other devotees, that will not be overpowering for him. So we'll stop here and we pray to the lotus feet of Raghunandan Thakur and great devotees like him. Today is Vamshri Das Babaji Maharaj Sevens also. So we pray to them and I pray to all of you also. Although I am speaking this, it's impudence on my part to sit here and speak like this. So, as Vaishnavas are always merciful, like Jad Bharat, you also please keep your mercy so that I'll understand what I spoke. Maybe not today, tomorrow, sometime. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, jai.